Come, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel. So here we are on the second Sunday in Advent, and we have the story of yet another birth. There are stories to be told about each of our births, some of which I suspect grow arms and legs. And sorry, that was a bad attempt at a pun. My birth story is about snow and whether or not my mum and dad would get safely from Crathy to the maternity ward at Turf Inns. Maybe yours was even more exciting. Today's birth story is about Samson. And we all remember his story, right? Whether from Sunday school or perhaps from the 1949 Cecil B. DeMille epic. Well, maybe, okay, your Sunday school version was more accurate. But Samson's story, or at least the bit we all know, is about his hair. He was guaranteed superhuman strength so long as he never cut his hair. This strength helped him battle the Philistines, with whom Israel were yet again at war. Samson, though, had a weakness for a pretty face, and fell in love with a woman called Delilah. Delilah was paid a lot of money by the Philistines to find out the secret behind Samson's strength. She found out, cut his hair, and he was captured. The Philistines brought him out as entertainment at a banquet, but they'd made a fatal mistake, because by that point they'd allowed Samson's hair to grow again. And mustering his strength, he pulled down a pillar that was holding up the roof, and he killed himself and about 3,000 of his enemies. That brief synopsis is probably what most of us remember about Samson. And if that had been the bit of the story we'd read today, you'd have rightly wondered what on earth we were doing hearing about Samson in Advent. But instead, we heard about his birth. A birth story that has a common theme among many others in the Bible, and has a commonality with our story about Moses' birth last week and the birth of John the Baptist and then Jesus himself. There is a pattern in Samson's birth story that we see replicated many times in our Bible. A wife unable to conceive, an angelic visitor from the Lord, and a child who is then set aside for the Lord. A Nazarite, meaning one separated. The barren status of Manoah's wife, and note again how we are not told her name, but our story follows that similar pattern, the one that we've just heard. And it flags up the Israelite tradition that a child conceived under these circumstances will have special heroic status. Also in today's story, as there was in last week's, we have a people under oppression for whom this child's birth means the possibility of salvation. In this case, the Israelites have been under the evil hand of the Philistines for 40 years. I just love the Bible and the way our stories can be so interconnected. We had Moses from last week, over 1500 years BC, and Samson, 1100 years BC. And Samson was born towards the end of the time when Israel was governed by the judges. And the conflict with the Philistines was one of the last that happened before the reign of Saul, the first king of Israel. Moses and Samson, similar themes of children being born who have been set aside by the Lord, born with a purpose, born under difficult circumstances, born to help free the Israelite people. Next week, we'll hear again the story of John the Baptist's birth, another baby born with a purpose. And then on the 23rd, we'll finally get to tell the story of Jesus' own birth, the incarnation, God among us. Samson sits as a link between Moses and Elizabeth and Mary in our Advent birth narratives. Moses and Samson born with the purpose of leading the Israelites to freedom. John born to prepare the way for Jesus, and Jesus to set all people free. And one thing that all four birth stories have in common is that they are born to mothers who became pregnant and went through a full pregnancy experiencing that in a completely normal way. There was a time of waiting between knowing they were expecting and their sons being born. Pregnancy is a time of waiting and expectation, which we hope will end in a successful and safe birth, although we know sadly this isn't always the case. Advent is a time of waiting and expectation, and one that I tried to explain last week is important. In the rushing to get to Christmas, we can miss out so much that is special about the time between Advent Sunday and Christmas morning. A very good friend and colleague of mine, David, has been reflecting on Advent and writing a blog each day on themes that occur to him as the day passes. In his blog on Tuesday, he explored the theme of patience, one of those fruits of the Spirit listed in Paul's letter to the Galatians. And with his permission, I want to share with you what he had to say about patience. He wrote, "In contemporary society, we seem to be more focused on instant gratification than on patience and perseverance. Indeed, in spite of patience being traditionally regarded as a holy virtue among people of faith, there can seem to be a lack of patience and a demand that God acts now." David has had what he admits been a difficult year, and so he goes on with this. "However, I do not mean to be overcritical, for in the midst of all the stuff that has been and is going on for me at us at the moment, I and we too have been very aware of the frustration of waiting and of apparently unanswered prayer and as yet unfulfilled promises. I can recognise that in the dark, that the darker it is, the brighter shine these little lights of hope that we have from time to time experienced. And in spite of the frustration that I have to honestly own up to, I also find that in the long waiting for an answer to prayer, a sign of direction or a clear revelation of God's presence, there is, when I choose to pause and be silent and open, a sense of peace and presence. And just maybe I'm learning to be a little bit more patient. As I've already suggested, waiting is not something we're used to in contemporary society, where instant gratification, instant answers, instant access to information, instant entertainment are constantly and continually available to us. If you pick up something from the supermarket for supper on your way home and pop it in the microwave, in the time it takes to take off your coat, put on your slippers, set out the cutlery and open the wine, ping, it's ready. Then you can reach for your remote control, switch on the TV, which instantly comes alive, and choose a film from Netflix, all in a moment or two. It was not always like that. Today, almost everything seems instant, and waiting is less a part of our daily lives than it once was. But not quite. Expectant parents still wait 9 months for the birth of a child, just the same length of time as parents 200 years ago. Or 2,000 years ago, had to wait. And whatever the perceptions as we get older are, nonetheless, the years do not actually pass any more quickly than they did before. And we have to wait for the results of medical tests or exam results, for health to recover, for wounds to heal, for planted seeds to grow and relationships to develop. There are many things for which we still have to wait. Things for which it is worth waiting. And it is worth waiting for Christmas. It is worth allowing the season of Advent to be what it is without having Christmas prematurely invaded. It is worth spending this time in anticipation and hope. For in this waiting time of Advent, we have a journey to undertake. As I said in an earlier post he'd said earlier in the week, on this journey of waiting, we reflect upon the dark realities of our world. We ponder the yet unfulfilled ancient promises of God's kingdom. We look and long and listen for the signs of the coming of this kingdom. We wait for God's purpose to prevail and for God's promises to be fulfilled. We wait for prayers to be answered and our longing satisfied. We wait for justice in the earth and for peace between peoples. We wait for the signs of dawn breaking, for the light of the day of our redemption to penetrate the darkness. In the waiting, there can be anxiety and anguish, frustration and fear. As I reflect upon the difficult experiences that have been faced by me and my family over recent months, he goes on, I am constantly battling with all of this. Why have we had to wait to see a resolution to our difficulties? Why are we not seeing the answers to prayer for which we so long? Why can we not find the guidance and assurance for which we have asked and still ask and go on asking? I will confess that alongside all the other things, or because of, I have been experiencing quite a deep crisis of faith. And yet I still have hope. No, I can't explain that either. I'm simply telling it as it is for me right now. We wait and go on waiting for the promises to be fulfilled and God's purpose to prevail. We wait in the midst of much that is distorted and dark in our world and our lives. We wait knowing that in the waiting times, while there may be healing and growing, there can remain also anguish and pain. But we wait, and we wait on. And even if faith is not always strong, we can still paradoxically maybe wait with hope. Advent is all about waiting. Waiting with hope. Not a distorted optimism, not superficial determination to always look on the bright side of life, not pretending that everything is all right. For everything, for me at least right now and in the world around it as I see it, is far from all right. But we wait in hope that God's purposes will finally prevail and God's promise will finally be fulfilled. Prayer, patience, and perseverance. Above all, trust in the slow work of God. I hope you don't mind that I shared such a lengthy quote. Indeed, it was almost all of David's blog from Tuesday. But he puts it so well and explains so beautifully why Advent is such a special time and cannot and should not be rushed. Yes, we are busy, but we need to find time to slow down a little and experience the build-up towards the celebration of Christmas, Christ born among us. Of course, worth celebrating, but also worth savouring. And in taking our time and savouring each day, we may find the peace that is offered by Jesus. Peace, our Advent word for today. The story of Samson, we know, is hardly a peaceful story. But in his birth story, we are reminded that all begin the same way, born after a period of waiting and expectation. And as many women will testify, the waiting can be uncomfortable and at times difficult. But there are also those moments of peace when you experience the overwhelming sense of love for your as yet unborn child. As the days of Advent progress, my prayer for you all is that you can find some peace in amongst all the busyness to connect with the waiting. Perhaps you can find some time this week to come and visit the Christmas Tree Festival. And whilst you're here, pause a while. Listen to the music if there's some while you're here. Take some time to just sit and be. And so when the time comes, you can truly rejoice in celebrating again the birth of our Saviour, Emmanuel, God with us.